What's the true cost of our tea? From the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. A BBC investigation has uncovered widespread sexual abuse on tea farms which supply some of the world's biggest international tea brands, including Lipton. Women in Kenya say they've been forced into sex by their managers while working on plantations owned for decades by two British companies. The BBC's Tom Adullah reports from Nairobi, and a warning, it contains distressing descriptions.
I've spent 18 months investigating sexual exploitation and abuse in the tea industry. I spoke to dozens of women working on plantations in Kenya, all with a similar story.
It's torture. He wants to sleep with you, then you get a job.
When you say no, he forces himself on you, wanting to touch you.
It reached a point that I thought of suicide.
The women claim they are being abused by their managers. So we sent an undercover reporter to pose as a worker. We are calling her Katie.
It was time for the general public to know what exactly happens in these companies.
First, she went to a plantation which produces PG Tips and Lipton teas. It was then owned by the multinational company Unilever. It's not long before she is pressured for sex by the divisional manager Jeremiah Koskei. Their conversation is recorded by hidden cameras.
He was getting angry with my very firm nose.
Katie is also pressured for sex by her immediate supervisor on the Unilever plantation, Samuel Yebei. The conversation is also recorded on hidden cameras.
I'm satisfying you.
He tells her, if you can satisfy me, I can satisfy you. Here's Katie again.
They position themselves in such a way that you understand that it's transactional, really. If you need to make money and you can't quit your job, then you will need to pay in one form or another.
Several women also told us they had been infected with HIV by the men in charge. Katie reported the predatory behavior to Unilever management, but nothing was done. The BBC also uncovered sexual abuse at Scottish-owned James Finlay and Company, which supplies tea to Starbucks and major UK supermarkets Tesco and Sainsbury's. When Katie went undercover to a job interview with one of the longest-serving managers on its plantations, John Chebochok, he grabs Katie. When she protests, he tells her to just consent, adding that if she lies down with him, he will give her a job. James Finlay and Company says it immediately suspended John Chebochok and it has reported him to Kenyan police. Tesco Supermarket says it's taking the claims extremely seriously. Sainsbury's says these horrific allegations have no place in our supply chain. Starbucks did not provide a response. Unilever sold its tea operation in Kenya last year. The company says it's deeply shocked and saddened by the allegations and insists that employees found to have breached its code of conduct were dismissed and any criminality was reported to the police. The new owner, Lipton Teas and Infusions, says it has suspended two managers we caught on camera and launched a full and independent investigation.
That was Tom Adullah reporting. Now let's do the numbers. A bit of cautious movement on London's FTSE and with the pound as investors keep their eye on a possible new Brexit deal. The Scottish brewer BrewDog is expanding into China in a deal with Budweiser. Here's the BBC's Katie Silver.
China is the world's biggest market for beer, though China as a market only accounts for 1% of BrewDog's sales. So under the deal, BrewDog says that it's going to be producing at a brewery in Putian in the southeastern province by the end of next month. Now, as part of this push into the market, they're going to plan to open more bars as well in the world's second largest economy. So far, they've got about 110 bars around the world, but just one in China, in Shanghai, that opened in 2020.
Katie Silver there. This Friday marks a year since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. All this week, we're looking at how the global economy is still enduring the consequences. The BBC's Darshini David told me that when the war began, the world was still recovering from the effects of the pandemic.
when we look at what was happening. Things were already challenging, let's say, because the world's factories, workshops were getting back up to speed. So what that meant is that already energy prices were on the rise, food prices were on the rise, shipping costs were high, and inflation was rising around the world. So certainly the war, when it came, caused a major upheaval into that situation.
And can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, when Russia invaded Ukraine, what was the knock-on?
Well, if you're looking at a spreadsheet, Russia, Ukraine don't seem to factor that large in global trade. It's about what they produce, those basic commodities, and how they therefore have huge influence over those markets. So, for example, we saw, turning our back on Russia, we want to reduce their financial firepower by not trading with them. So we're going to look for alternative sources, for example, of the energy that Russia produces. On top of that, Ukraine, a major player when it comes to the world's grain markets and indeed as well, sunflower oil. And what we saw there was a spike in those prices, but also concerns about whether or not the world's supplies would last out. Now, some of those fears have been eased, but there are still very much heightened concerns about energy and food security in the years going forward, and also a redrawing, quite frankly, of the global trade map.
BBC's global trade correspondent, Darshini David, thank you very much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be continuing our Ukraine economic coverage throughout the week. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.